This morning we're going to be looking in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. While you're finding your place there, have you ever heard of Easter Island? I'm sure you have. It was an island that was discovered in 1722. A little tiny island. When it was discovered, they found all types of things that were being constructed, but it looked like everybody had vanished off of the island. Something cataclysmic had happened, and all of the statues and the buildings and things stopped. Well, the reason why they call this little island, it's about 2,000 miles from Chile, the reason they call it Easter Island is because it was discovered on Easter Sunday, 1722. But Easter is not an island. That island is called that, and it is surrounded. It doesn't touch any other land. It's that little bitty spot. But I want you to think about last Sunday. Easter is not an island, meaning in many people's life, that's all Easter is. It's once a year celebration. And then they go right back to their normal living. Not to think about Easter again until next year. The resurrection has no impact in their life whatsoever. So for a person that does not know Christ, I guess you could say that Easter is an island. But for the Christian, Easter is connected to everything. It is connected to 52 Sundays out of the year. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every day of our existence is impacted because of resurrection, because of what Jesus did that we celebrated last Sunday. He came out of the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's what our Savior did last Sunday morning. He arose. That had an impact on me, though many years of my life it had no impact because I didn't understand it. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection, but he talks about it in a different viewpoint. He talks about it after the resurrection, what the power of the resurrection did to him. So I'd like to entitle my message this morning, The Other Side of Resurrection. We look forward to resurrection. We celebrated Palm Sunday 2 weeks ago, looking forward to the week of Passion where Jesus would die and then he would be risen. But now the Sunday after Easter, let's look at the other side of resurrection. Really, the powerful, impacting side that personally affects us. Found in verse number 7, we're going to read down to verse number 11. This is what Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Notice two times here the word resurrection is mentioned. And Paul says there in verse number 10, there's something that I want to know. It's him, and more specifically about him, the power of his resurrection. The power of his rising from the dead. On the other side of resurrection day, in fact, about 60 years after the resurrection, Paul is saying, I want to know the power of the resurrection. Now, like maybe some of you today, that was just kind of mysterious to me as a young Christian. What did he mean by this? What is he implying here about the resurrection? What is this other side of the resurrection that impacts our daily lives and our future life? Well, I want to point out some things to you. Would you look with me now at our text this morning? I want us to see what maybe you have not seen before. I'm going to point out five things in the Scripture. If you would mark those, if you would write them down, just these five brief thoughts that we find in verses 7 down to verse number 11. First thing I want you to see is what Paul says here that he gained. What Paul had gained. You know what it means to gain something. It means you've accomplished something. You've got something. This is actually an accounting term that he uses here on the accounting ledger. This is in the black. This is what is assets. This is what you have and you possess. Paul says, there are some things that I gained. Things I worked my whole life for that I gained. I had goals. I set those goals. Paul was a very educated man. I want you to notice what he says back up there. Look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me? So what things are he talking about? Is he talking about there in verse number 7? The things that were gained are on the plus side or assets or accomplishments in my life. Go back to verse number 4. We didn't read this, but look at verse 4. Paul is kind of giving a resume of himself. A CV is what the British call it. A reference. Some background, some accomplishments, biographical information. Verse 4, Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He said, I was a pretty confident person because of all my accomplishments. If any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. Now here's his credentials, verse 5. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He was an Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. That's like saying he was in the top echelon of the Hebrew religion. A Hebrew of Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. That's what you would call the special forces in the military, so to speak. He was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he had zeal. He persecuted the church. He said these people called Christians who named Jesus as Messiah, he said, I persecuted them. I got letters from the magistrates. I hunted them down. I was going to stamp out this sect. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, Paul was not saying here that he was perfect, that he kept all the law perfectly. But in the mindset of the Jew in that day, concerning the Old Testament law, not just the Ten Commandments, but the 614 rules and laws that they had, the civil laws, the ceremonial laws. He says, as touching all of the laws, nobody could say I was guilty, I was blameless to the eyes of others. So Paul says, verse number 7, what things were gain to me. Now he's just told you what things were gain to him. What things he had accomplished. The book of Acts tells us that he was a student of Gamaliel. That didn't mean much to us, but it meant something to a Jew in that day. It was the Harvard, it was the Oxford, it was the Cambridge, it was the best of the study under Gamaliel. He had degrees. He had prestige. He had reputation. He had power or clout. He had notoriety. He said, those are the things that I gained. Now notice what Paul lost. This is on the other side of the accountants, the CPA's books. This is on the side of the negative. This is in the red. Paul says there in verse number 7 that all these things which were gained to me, I counted loss. I thought they in my account before God, I had a lot of sway with God. I had a lot of power with God. I had a lot of the things that God was looking for, but I found out that as far as God was concerned, he just reached in, tore out all those things, all that I had gained, and said, buddy, you're not in the black, you're in the red. Paul, you think that you've got money in the bank, but actually, you are way overdrawn, you are in the red, and you are accountable to this bank, or you are accountable to this God. You know, a lot of rich people, not always been that way. Some have made fortunes only to lose fortunes, only to gain them again. That's kind of like Paul here. Paul, you could say, had a bank account full of Confederate dollars. He had millions. He was billionaire with Confederate dollars. Stack it all up and look at it, and it looks impressive. But it won't buy anything. It will not purchase anything in God's economy. Now, you know, I used to be kind of like Paul. I didn't have these accomplishments, of course, but I felt like that in my book that I was to the good. Because I'd always remind myself, I got a certificate in my study in a box. I got a certificate that says that I was baptized as a baby in the church. I've got a certificate that tells me that I was a member of the church. I've got Vacation Bible School certificates back in the early 60s where I attended Vacation Bible School, and my mother kept all of these things. And of course, in my mind and in my heart, when I looked at my book before God, I felt like I've got some things that he's pleased with. Only to find out when the Word of God was opened and preached to me, the truth showed me I was bankrupt. I was lost. I was undone. I was a sinner accountable before God. Just like Paul, I thought I had gained a lot, but actually, Jesus told me all I had was Confederate money. Can't trade that stuff up here in the heavenly economy. You know, when during those times of the Civil War and all those people that had those millions of dollars and they had wheelbarrows full of money. One day they were rich. The next day it was declared it was worthless. Can you imagine how those people felt? Everything that they had accumulated. Well, there's good news. Look at the third thing, what Paul gained. Well, I thought that was point number one. This is a different one. Look at verse number 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but... You know what that is? Dung, refuse, excrement, manure. All those things he held about himself in such high esteem, he says, I count them as dung. That's the only way he could express to show the utter contempt of all these things. Look at that last part of verse number 8, that I may win Christ. You see, I got to let go of something if I am going to have Christ. I've got to let go of my stuff, and I've got to reach and grab hold of his stuff. Verse number 9, he says, and be found in him. You see, Paul says, I give up all these things. I count it as dung. I have walked around in my accomplishments. I have wore my medals. I have been rich in myself only to find that it's worthless. But now I am found in him. In him. How does being in him, how does that work on God's economy? Can you get anything by being? Can you trade anything by being in him? What assets do you have now since you've given up yours and you are now in him? What does that mean? It means you've got the power of attorney in heaven's bank account. You didn't earn it. You didn't make it. You didn't gather it. It's God's money or currency. But God, since you are now in him, in Christ, is just as good as yours. Did you catch that phrase in that song just a minute ago that Celeste was singing? I'm now justified. Justified is a legal term that a judge in a courtroom pronounces on a guilty person. He says, I now declare you justified. Meaning, you are now just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified. God looks upon me as clear. God looks upon me as innocent. God looks upon me, and what does he see when he looks upon me? He looks upon me and sees that I am in him. I am in Christ. So whatever has happened to Christ is in my account. He was crucified. I was crucified. He was buried. I was buried. He rose from the dead. I rose from the dead. He has all riches in glory. I have all riches in glory. I am part of the family. I've been grafted into the vine. I have been made clear of all my transgressions. Do I deserve that? Do you deserve that? No. Paul didn't deserve that. But only when you realize you're bankrupt and you are sinful and you are undeserving and you claim that, I renounce all of my goodness, all of my righteousness, all that I have gained, I'm bankrupt. Only then does God say, now you have gained a righteousness that is not your own. You are now in Him. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, not just holding on to Christ, but you have been placed in Christ. You are in Him. We are part of His body now. So Paul says, I've gained again far more than I could have ever imagined. Look at verse number 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Notice those words, mine own righteousness. That's what Paul thought that he had so much of, all these good things I've done. But God says, your righteousness is as filthy rags in my sight. An unclean thing. Not the bad things you do, the good things that you do are as filthy rags, an unclean thing. So he says here that I've been found in Him. I don't have my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now folks, do you have that today, personally? Let's open up your books. Where do you stand before God? By the way, one day the books will be opened. Isn't that what the Bible says? One day the books will be opened and we will be judged from. Everything is being recorded. Every word that we say, every thought that we have, every evil in our hearts, every lust, every envy, every covetousness, every sin of pride and arrogance and so forth, everything is being recorded. Would you like to get all that wiped out? Just admit. Admit the wretchedness of your own soul. Lose it all and throw yourself at the mercy of the cross of Christ. Put yourself at the place of the cross where He died for you. And it says in verse number 9, faith is what triggers the account. You go to an ATM, you got money in the bank, or there's money there available for you, you got to have the code to get in. What is the code? C-R-O-S-S, I'm in. The cross. By putting my faith in the cross, in the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross in my place, by believing that, by faith, believing that, God says, I'm in. Isn't that what it says in the last part of verse number 9? But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So Paul became a believer. Paul, persecuting people that believed in the gospel, now on the road to Damascus, God appears to him and he realizes he's messed up. He was wrong. He was doing the wrong thing. He spoke to the resurrected Jesus and said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He submitted himself to the risen Lord. So, that's gotten us 3 points into the five. What Paul had gained, what Paul had lost, and then now what Paul has gained that is eternal. Now notice, in verse number 10, Paul's desire. What was it Paul desired? What does he say there in verse number 10? It's like a yearning, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul, man, you're not making sense here. What do you mean that you may know Him? I thought you already knew Jesus. Yeah, he did know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That's like going out here and getting you a cup full of water out of Lake Lanier and drinking it and saying, that's all there is to Lake Lanier, that one cup full. Or taking a gallon out of the ocean saying, well, I've got the ocean. Is that really all there is to the ocean? Just what you got? No, Paul is saying here, I want to know him in a more intimate way. I want to know more about him. I want to experience. You know, if I were to tell you, I see all the stars at night. I want to know every one of the stars. Well, there's more than what I can see in the sky. So I want to know every star that's out there. I want to know every galaxy that's out there. I want to know every complexity of the complexities of life and say I have understood them all. Remember, he spoke and put all those things into existence. You think there's more to him than this, that? The works of his creation? Do you have burning in your soul a desire that Paul had? On the other side of the resurrection, he's saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Man, what kind of power is there? This resurrection power. That word dunamis, power. You know what that means? The ability to overcome resistance. I got a wagon load of stuff out here. I got a horse. I hitch up that horse to that wagon. I can't pull that wagon by myself at all, but I do have one horsepower. And that horse has power I don't have. It has power, the ability to overcome resistance or weight. How powerful are engines today? After the memorial service, Craig, Brent's brother, was a big hot rodder. And a man standing right over here was talking, and he was talking about they love Plymouths and Chryslers and talking about a 71 Barracuda that he has right now with a six-pack, which means six carburetors on it, 600-and-something horsepower that little Cuda has. And all he was getting into it about, we was talking cars for a minute. You ever been to the air show down here? See them jets screaming in, coming in. I mean, it sends chills when you see the power and then they take straight up into the air, vertical. The thrust, the power. Folks, that's nothing compared to spiritually the power of the resurrection. Nobody's ever been able to conquer death, hell, and the grave. It's impossible. But of course, the Lord of glory, the power of his resurrection. Now tell me, what's your problem today that you just feel like, man, this is so big, this financial problem, this situation, that it's nothing, nothing compared to the power that is available through the one who rose from the dead. He can change your life. He can change your habits. He can change your language. He can change your mind. He changes your heart through the power of knowing him and the power of his resurrection. And here's the last thing, what Paul experienced. What did Paul experience in his life after he became a believer? He had a tough time. He suffered much. Look at what he desires in verse number 10. I want to know him more fully. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to be a part of the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Wow, that's the last thing most of us want. I'm going to run from the suffering part. No, not when you know Jesus. You want to be identified. You want to be a part of the fraternity of suffering. Because what comes from suffering? Glory. Glory. Paul said, I glory in my sufferings. I glory in my weaknesses. I glory in those people that buffet, malign, attack, try to hurt me. And by the way, what happened to Paul? How'd he die? He's laying in bed one night and just had a heart attack? No, they chopped his head off. He willingly went and laid his neck upon that chopping block. Paul said, my time is at hand. My departure is at hand. I have a desire to depart, which is far better. But I also have a desire to stay back and to help those that I love. But he said, to be absent from my body is to be present with the Lord. So go ahead and kill me. You're not going to do nothing but send me to be with him. Paul said, I don't fear death. I'll just step over to the other side. I'll gladly, he said, look at me. I gladly bear in my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have suffered for him. Do you want to suffer with him? Everybody that knows him ought to want to be in that fraternity. You say, well, I'm scared to do that. So you don't know yet the power of the resurrection. The only way you can know the power of his resurrection is to experience death like he experienced death. See, there might be just a little bit more to this Christian life than we understand. Would you assume? You say, well, preacher, I done got 100 gallons out of the ocean. I've come a long way in all these years since I've been saved. So you think you're back to the end of emptying it out? No, oh no. That I may know him. That I may know him. I love that gospel song, More About Jesus, What I Know. You know the woman that wrote that song? Her name was Eliza. She wrote it back in 1887. Well, actually, she wrote the poem a little bit early and they put it to music. She was an invalid most of her life. She was a good friend of Fanny Crosby, who was the blind songwriter. But she said this, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. She says, more about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Be suspect of any person who's got all of Jesus they want. 9 times out of 10, I would say they probably just got religion. They hadn't got Jesus. Because a person that truly knows him wants more of him. Let's pray. The other side of the resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on that cross and taking my sin, being wounded for me. Thank you, Father, for placing upon your Son the iniquity of us all.